Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12, let's stand together. We're going to read verses 23 to 28. I know it was Building Sunday. We spent some time on that, and I see what time it is, just so you know. We will not be long. I'll talk fast. You listen fast, and lunch will come fast, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. We are talking about a firm foundation. It's our series right now. We're just talking about some foundational thing. Some foundational things. Today we're just going to talk about some choices that we're going to make or that we need to make that can help us to have the right kind of foundation. And we're going to look at Moses a little bit here. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the way, neither should we. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm sorry, I said 12. It is actually Hebrews 11. Did I confuse you? Well, Brother Jim, thank you for saying something. I appreciate you. He's going to sing next, okay? It's all good. How many of you figured it out before I told you? I know, the great faith chapter, Luke 12, okay? Good. It's Hebrews 11, I'm sorry. Where were we at, Brother Jim, for you? I'm not starting over. You read it and catch up. All right, verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 11. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless the message this morning as we try to build upon the firm foundation in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It has often been said that life is filled with decisions, and really decisions will determine our destiny, really the direction that we live. If we look at Moses, think of Moses, a Hebrew who should have been a slave, but yet because of God's direction, he lived in the palace, rich. Some say that history tells us he could have been the next Pharaoh. I don't know about that. That's what you hear in history. But either way, Moses could have had the easy life. But yet, he made a choice when he realized it. He made two decisions. First, he refused the allurement and the attraction of the world. Verse 24 of Hebrews 11, while you were in Hebrews 12, said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected it. She raised him as her own, but he realized who he was and what God wanted, and he said, I'm not going to choose that. Although some people would look and say, the world would say, what a fool, he could have had everything he wanted. Well, that led to his second choice. He chose affliction in association with God's people. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God. Now, how can Moses make decisions like that? Sometimes people look and say, all you have on this earth is one life. Live it to the till. Live it full. Get everything you can out of it. Well, Moses chose a path that wasn't going to give him everything he could get out of it. How could he do that? Well, verse 26. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He looked at it from an eternal perspective, and instead of getting the riches and all that came with Egypt, he chose the reproach and all of that came to the children of Israel, and really from God. One might call this a proper value system. He placed more value on eternal reward than on earthly gain. And by the way, that's what the believer is supposed to do. Our life should be based and predicated upon eternity, not just what's on this earth. Life is brief. Eternity is not. If we have the right kind of value system, we'll desire eternal reward more than the riches of this earth. We call that a correct spiritual mindset. Or the word I use is, as Christians, we should have what I call a biblical worldview. How do we view the world? We view the world biblically, through the principles of the Bible, through what the Bible teaches us. Too many Christians do not have that. Much of that is because we've been trained by the world, we've been indoctrinated by the world, and we've been entertained by the world. And all of that leads to get us to start to think like the world. And when we think like the world, we will view the world the way the world does and not by the way that God does. But yet if we have the right value system, we will see the world. Our values are determined greatly by what we see. What is our vision? Now, this is not a message about the building, but one thing that'll help us see the value and the importance of the building and get on board with it and pray and ask God to help us in every way we can is if we see the spiritual significance of what we're trying to accomplish here. If we're going to do that, we must have a clear vision of the purpose of Christ. See, too often we lose that vision. You know, it happens sometimes as parents, even with our children. We see our children growing, and we want them to serve God and live for God. And then as they get older, Brother Chin, we lose our vision for that. Now we want them to have the things of the world. And we feel we need to send them to the University of Egypt. And they need to be involved in all this other nonsense. Listen, why don't we just trust and find out what God has for them? If God has something, if God, you know, I want my child to be, you know, a lawyer. I want my child to be a doctor. I want my child to be whatever, you name it. Well, if that's what God wants for them, that's fine. But you know what I find? 99% of the time, it's not God, it's you. We almost see our children as our retirement plan, you know. We've had parents, not recently, but, you know, they'll come to us and like, you know, well, this one's very, very smart. I want this one to be a doctor or a lawyer, whatever it is. And that child over here struggles in school. Yeah, that one can serve God. Really? They all can serve God. And by the way, the one that struggles in school, that doesn't mean anything. Usually they do a lot for God. Why, the people that think they have the intelligence, you know, they think they can do something greater than that. Well, that's just for, listen, here's the greatest thing we can do. If we have the right value and vision, we'll do what God just wants us to do. Let's just get on board with that. We lose our vision. Several hundred years ago, a ship full of travelers landed on the northeast corner of America. The first year, they established a town. The next year, they established a government. The third year, the government planned to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. And the fourth year, they tried to impeach the government because they thought it was a waste of money to build such a road. Now think about it. These people got up and moved to a place where no one lived because they had a vision for a town, and 4 years later, they wouldn't even build a road 5 miles from where they live. We lose vision. We give our soul to Christ, and then we kind of start backing off when he wants to actually do something in our life. We need to have a proper vision. One thing that gave Moses the stability to make the right choices that he made is of his relationship with God. Hebrews 11:27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How can he make those right choices? He saw somebody spiritually that he could not see physically. He always was aware of God, and he kept his focus on God, although God's not right here with us. And because he could keep his focus on God, and he kept God before him, and in his mind's eye could see God in his plan, in his purpose, he was able to continue to go forward. In 1952, there was a lady named Florence Chadwick. She got into the water right off of Catalina Island. She was going to swim across the channel. It was a very cold and a very foggy day. The distance, she couldn't see too far ahead of her. Now, they had a boat with her so that if something happened, they could get her. 15 hours into it, she was like, she called for the boat to come get her. She wasn't that far away. They asked her later when they let her know exactly how far away she was when they figured it out. She said, I think I could have made it if I could only have seen the shore. Now, it wasn't long. She tried it again on a very clear day, and she was able to do it. Too often we do that in our life. We can't make the right choices because we take our eyes off of God. And it's not that he's not there, but we let things cloud our vision. We let things get in our way, and we forget to see God in everything that's in our life. And when we don't see God in everything that's in our life, we will not make the right choices. Think of some of the great men of God in history that have just done great things and sacrificed greatly. Why did they do it? They did it because they could see God. Now, let's give it in a practical sense. We did talk about the building. What about our building giving? Listen, we've been giving to the building for a long time in our family. We've given a lot, and God's allowed us to, and that's fine. But we keep doing it, and even when the building's done, we'll still give to projects because we see God, and we want to be involved in everything that's going on. Amen. Many of us have heard of John Wesley. John Wesley was basically the man who founded the Methodists. Methodists, I wouldn't give you a dime for them today. They don't even really believe the gospel anymore. But boy, back when he was, they were firebrands, and they would go everywhere sharing the gospel. John Wesley was vested in this. He said that he would give money. He records how he used to give to the Lord so that he could get his vision off the ground. He said when he started, his income was 30 pounds. That's we don't use that, but you'll get the concept. And his living expenses were 28, so that he gave 2 pounds away that year. Later on, his income started to get higher. The next year, he doubled his income. So now he had 60 pounds, but he still lived on 28 and gave away the rest. And his income continued. In the fourth year, he said he made 120 pounds, yet he still lived on 28 and he gave away 92. You say, well, how come his income increased but his spending didn't? He had an eternal vision. And that drove everything that he did. We need to have the right vision. We need to make the right choices. How do we make the right choices? First of all, let's make the right choices in our values. What do you value in life? What is important to you? Too many people, their values are off. Okay? They're off. Our government is nuts. I think I told you on Thursday, they're trying to pass a new law in California where if somebody at a food establishment gives you a straw and you didn't ask them, you're fined $1,000 and you can go to jail for 6 months. But yet rapists will go free. What is wrong with us? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We have no values anymore. I'm not for cruelty to animals. I love animals. They're delicious, okay? God gave us animals to eat, but I'm not for torturing animals just to torture animals. And if you have a cat, God bless you. I hate cats. But I'm not against you having a cat. I don't think they're delicious, but hey, if you want to have a cat. But if I guarantee if someone mistreats a cat, it'd be a bigger story in the Long Beach Press Telegram than someone abusing their child. We're crazy. Why? Our values are so skewed because we don't see things through God's eyes. You know, I'm not a Patriots fan. I like pain. I'm a Rams fan. Okay? I found out at the funeral yesterday that Martha Washington was a Chargers fan. She liked pain too. And if you're a Raiders fan, you like incarceration probably. I have no idea. But I'm not, but you know, he said something the other day, and half of it I'm in on. He said, listen, there are only two things that are important in my life. And by the way, he's kind of a conservative guy. He gets hit for that. He said, there's only two things in my life that are really important to me. Football and my family. He goes, they're everything. And he got a lot of grief for that. But at least his family was in there. Okay? It'd be nice if God was in there. But too many people, their value, this is just, what is important to you? Let me ask you that. What do you value? I'll tell you what else, our love. We need to make a choice about what do we love. We read the verses in, I quoted the verses in Colossians. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, what do you really love? You're going to have to choose that. You have to choose it. Now, I know we mentioned things, you know. I like gyros. How many of you ever had a real one? Not the garbage that's around here. I mean, I love them, Brother Jim. If you've ever lived in Chicago, you got the real deal in Chicago, okay? And you can't find them. There's a place in San Diego that has them. But what do I mean by I love gyros? Would I die for them? No. That's just, we throw that out there, right? I love them. No, it's just, they taste good. And I'll eat them every time you throw one in front of me, okay? But that's not love. What do we really love? So many people, I love my family. I love my wife. Do you ever spend time with them? I love Jesus. Do you do what he says? You share him with other people? Okay? We have to choose what we love. And it's not what we say. It's in our actions. We need to understand that. We need to understand that. What gets your time? What gets your energy? What do you get really excited about? You get somebody that comes to church and it's like you can't get a holy grunt out of them. Jesus is good. Where's the gyro? And I'm in on the gyro. You want to go get me a gyro after church? Come see me. I'll go. And if you're paying, I'll go twice. Okay? But boy, I'm just not like that, Brother Cham. I just kind of keep to myself. I'm not really emotional. And then you watch your sports teams play. Years ago, I took my wife, we first moved back to California, we went to a hockey game, we went to a playoff game. Those people were nuts. Now, this is back before the politically correct garbage. They were playing, I think, Calgary, so they played the Canadian National Anthem. They booed the whole time. By the way, most of the players in the Kings were Canadian. They didn't boo because they hated Canada, it represented the other team. And then when the National Anthem came, by the way, no one was seated. They sang as loud as they could. Like, and I've been to many games, but playoff games are different. Why? Well, they were singing because we're Los Angeles, we're America, you're Calgary, you're Canadian, we don't like you. And they were acting like nuts. I met a guy, I was sitting next to a guy, he just happened to be there, he goes, yeah, I got a ticket. He goes, I'm in town for work, I'm from Toronto. He goes, you know, to get a season ticket in Toronto for the Maple Leafs, why you would want to, I have no idea. He says, you have to be on a waiting list, and the waiting list is like for 15 years. And he said, what people do when they die, they leave in their will that their family can have their season tickets. Okay? I know where they're at, but boy, they get excited about their sports teams, but you get up and say, Jesus is good, it's like, ugh. Really? He is good. And by the way, some people you're not emotional, I get it, but boy, there ought to be something inside you that says, that was good. Okay? What are you excited about? What do you love? What do you desire? That's another decision we need to make. What do you desire? You see, because if you have the right values and if you have the right love, you'll desire the right things. That's why if family's important to you and you say you love your family, you know what your desire will be? To be with your family. To do what's best for them. To fulfill your responsibilities in your family. Not just say it. What do you desire? You know, it's funny. You can see, because when people desire something, their energy is in it. We were in Bible college, and everybody had to work on the bus routes of Bible college. I was a cat. We had a guy, and he was putting his year in. And the guy, as a bus worker, was as lazy as sin. Hey, you want to, you know, hey, you want to take a turn? We had to sweep the buses out. We rented them. If you didn't sweep them out, we got fined, and they would take the buses away from us. So we all took turns. Hey, you want to sweep the bus? No, I ain't doing it. We had a night bus, and we'd take people home, and we did then. We'd get home at 2 in the morning. He wouldn't go if you gave him $100. He just came and sat on the bus, wouldn't interact with anybody. He only visited for a few hours. We were out there all day. I'm like, he just is lazy. Well, I got a job working at a trucking company, overnight transportation, loading trucks. He worked there. He was the best employee they had. The boss loved him. He ran from truck to truck. He unloaded those things like there was gold at the backside, and he had to get to it. And you know what it was? It wasn't that he was lazy. It's just that he was not motivated for the right thing. He didn't have a desire for the right thing. When we have a desire for something, you're going to have to choose what you desire. Read through the Bible, the desire for God, the desire for the house of God, the desire to obedience to God. It's all there. But do we have it? Choices. What is your choice today? Lastly is this. We must choose our relationship. And when I mean that, I'm talking about our relationship with God. It's like anything. That doesn't happen on accident. If you're married today, I'm praying for you. If you're married today, that didn't happen on accident. I didn't meet my wife on October 1st, 1983. I still remember. Our first date, okay? And it wasn't just like we met, like, okay, that's cool. And like 2 years later, it's like, wow, we're married. How'd that happen? It didn't happen. She had to do a lot to win me. There's so many others chasing after me. No, you know what it was? We went after each other. We still do, but in a different way. But we went after each other. Don't worry, I can duck. Come on, girl, bring it on. Faster than you any day of the week. But it's there, Brother Jim, we worked on that. We didn't fall in love. Fall means to trip, to hurt yourself. I will fall for anything. Okay? We wanted a relationship. We worked on that relationship. And it led to marriage. Okay, we think that our relationship with God is different, though. It's just going to happen. It's not going to happen. We have to want it to happen. I say this over and over, and you probably get sick of hearing it, but you are as close to God as you choose to be. Well, you know, there's something wrong with this church. I'm feeling cold. I don't feel close to God. That's not our fault. Oh, you're right. We never open the Bible. We never read the Bible. We sing songs that have no meaning whatsoever. How come in the same church will be people that are excited for God and going forward, and there's someone else, I'm not growing, I'm not being fed? Well, open your mouth and eat. Listen, if you invite me over your house for dinner, and if it's not seafood, I'd come. Oh, she's invited sometimes when she makes pho. You want to come over for pho? Well, of course. I'm stupid. She doesn't have to put the bowl in front of me and then feed me. Look, I'll even walk into the kitchen and you can hand me the bowl. I'll figure out how to get it down on my own. Give me the food, I'm in. You know what the problem is? Because we don't want to have that close. We think it's going to happen on accident. We have to choose to say, I want to have that relationship with God. I want to get close to him. What am I saying? I have no idea. It's getting late and I'm hungry. I'm saying this. You have to make the right choices. If we're going to live on the foundation, if we're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we have to make the right choices. Let me ask you a couple things and we're out of here. What do you value? By the way, if you don't spend time in the Bible, you're not going to value the right things. You're going to value whatever you allow to infiltrate this head of yours. and is head of mine. What do you value? What do you love? Not some, you know, I got the t-shirt. You know, Jesus is my lifeguard. Well, goody, goody, goody. I'm not against those shirts, you know. It's more than that. Do you really love him? Do you really love that which is right? What do you desire? I mean, you know, when you desire something, someone doesn't have to beat you over the head to do it. You know, you mean church on Sunday? Well, you know, oh, come on, let's come. Look, no one calls me and says, are you going to be in church on Sunday, Steve? My wife makes me go. I don't want to be there this morning. She says, you're preaching, you got to go. Like, but the people don't like me. I don't like them. I like being here. I really do. I hope you do too, okay? If not, just smile and fake it, okay? I love you. You know, like Christmas and you hug your mother-in-law. I love you, dear. Just kidding. Desire. And what about your relationship? How's your relationship with God? By the way, I'll just tell you this. If your relationship with God is right, your values will be in place, your love will be secure, and your desire will be right. Okay? But only you can choose that for yourself. Moses chose a lot of things that were not easy. But he had the right value system. He saw him who was invisible. And he didn't look at all the peripheral stuff that gets us sidetracked. Let's stand together this morning.